queue in the children's cafeteria, and they all lined up. And at one end of the table was a big pile of apples. There was a sign next to it, and it said, "Only take one. God is watching." At the other end of the cafeteria, there was a big pile of chocolate cookies. And some little boy had wrote another sign at the side of that. And you can imagine what it said. It said, "Take as many as you want. God is watching the apples." And if you take anything at all from this morning's sermon, it's not that God is watching the apples, it's that he's watching us. And it's that he knows what goes on in our hearts and in our minds. And Jesus had a lot of dealings with this group called the Pharisees and the scribes. And the Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead and the afterlife. The Sadducees did not. And that's why they were sad, you see. Sorry. The scribes were kind of like lawyers. They had great knowledge and they could draft up wedding details, divorce details. They were very much like lawyers, these scribes. But why didn't they like Jesus? They didn't like him, for they thought he was disobeying the Mosaic law. Today, in context, a Pharisee is someone who follows the impulse to be seen as righteous by obeying certain laws, while ignoring those laws that are more important. Surprisingly, in this chapter, Jesus actually endorses the Pharisees and scribes when he says, "You must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do." In other words, their outside life was somewhat different than what their inside life was. And in a way, it's what we call hypocrisy. When we do something different than what we say. And it's so easy to do. I went to see a friend who's an actor on Friday to a place called Scare Kingdom. And it's not something generally that I like doing, but I was invited, so I went. And I knew exactly what it was going to be like. They were all dressed up in all kinds of scary gear, makeup on, blood and all the rest of it. And so we walked through this. And it didn't affect me because I just thought, well, they're all actors. And I knew what they were doing. But sometimes actors can be really good, can't they? And really actually make you think, wow, yeah, I get what they're saying. But these were just, in a way, silly. At the end, the most scary bit, supposedly, was the clown. And it was a scary-looking clown, and it wasn't my friend. And they had chainsaws And I thought, I hope they're not real. But they were. They were real. And so they, you know, did all that and pretended to chop your legs off. Fortunately, they missed, and that's why I'm able to stand here today. So, but the point of this, and Jesus describes later on in this chapter the seven woes of hypocrisy. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. We'll come to that in a bit. Jesus warned people about these Pharisees and scribes. And there are kind of six kinds of Pharisees. One is the shoulder Pharisee, and they're the ones who, they made boxes and they put a scroll inside them which were of the Torah, of the Word of God. And they put them on the head between their eyes and on their shoulder or arm. And they did it just to be seen. And we can easily do things for the wrong reasons just to be seen. So that's the shoulder Pharisee. And then there's the wait a little Pharisee. Intended fully to do good deeds, but could always find a reason for not doing them. Sometimes I feel a bit like that. Always finding a reason for not doing something. We can all do it, but. And then there's the ones who were the bruised or bleeding Pharisee, who would turn away from anybody who was ill, or women, especially in public places. Then there was the humpbacked Pharisee, who was so humble, so bent over, he could barely lift his feet. Then there's the always counting Pharisee. He counted his good deeds. He kind of put God in debt to him for what he'd done. And you know the kind of person. I've done this, I've done that, And then there's the fearful Pharisee, who did good because he was terrified that God would strike him with judgment if he didn't do these things. And the best one is the God-fearing Pharisee, who really loved God and did good deeds to please the God he loved. What did Jesus have against them? They were bad examples and expected more of others than of themselves. Sometimes I think we can do that. We can say, right, you must read your Bible every day, three times a day and five times on a Sunday, and pray a similar amount of time, and then they themselves don't do it. They put heavy burdens on others. They didn't lift a finger. What did Jesus say? He said that his burden is light and his yoke is easy. That doesn't sound like some of the Pharisees he came across. We do that today. We give many rules, and not all of them need to be followed, really. In Acts 15, verse 10, it says, Why do you test God? By putting a yoke on the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear. And this is interesting because when the church started, they had to call a council in Jerusalem because the Pharisee Jews who became Christians wanted all the Christians to be circumcised. So this was a big deal for them, and they said, you can't be a Christian unless you're circumcised. So they said, right, well, let's have a meeting about it. So they all got together, and Peter said, why do you test God? By putting a yoke on the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear. Our faith isn't dependent on the externals. It's dependent on what's the heart is in the heart. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honour at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to be called rabbi by others. They were for the praises of men. They were guilty of advertising their religious deeds. They acted out of the religious spirit Jesus spoke against in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes are the kind of opposite to the seven woes that he gives later in this chapter. In contrast, blessed are those who are peacemakers. And he goes on, blessed. I'm not going to do that. They love to be admired for their spirituality. They coveted seats of honour at a banquet. They'd be invited to weddings and sit on the equivalent of the top table. And they loved their titles. Sometimes we're a bit like that these days with titles like the Reverend Doctor, the Very Reverend Doctor of Theology, and so on. And these people work hard for their degrees, and I'm not decrying that. It's just the titles, and we're all, in a way, just brothers and sisters. That's all we are. We're meant to serve each other. We're not to lord it over just because somebody's got a bit of knowledge. So, God is watching our hearts. He knows our hearts. And that's really my message. There's nothing wrong with the title, per se, of minister or whatever. But what's in your heart? I just want to give you something to think about, to reflect on, in a way. And that is a question. You don't have to answer it to me or anybody, just think about it. What is your image of God? When I was first asked this question, my first thought went to a painting that I'd seen done by William Blake, and it was called The Ancient of Days, and it depicted an old man sat on a seat with his hands like this, and he had a long beard. If you get a chance to look at it, but do many people have tried to figure out what their image of God is? But we should have an image of a loving, kind God. But and it tells us that thought of how we think of God is what view we have of God, and how important it is to have the right image of God. So I'll leave you with that thought. Now we're going to sing.